We're glad to see you in the house of God today, and we're going to turn, please, to the Psalm number 40 to commence our worship. The Psalm number 40, one of those psalms that no doubt is familiar to us all, on the page 37, the Psalm number 40. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. And we're singing the first five verses of Psalm number 40. We'll stand together as we sing. Let us unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. And let us seek to draw near to the Lord this morning as we call upon his name and ask him for his blessing as we gather in his house today. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before thee in prayer this morning. We thank thee that we can draw near unto thee in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee today that we acknowledge that there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we come this morning and we thank Thee that each of us who have experienced Thy salvation, that we can address Thee as our Heavenly Father. We can ask Thee today to hallow Thy name. We come before Thee and we do thank Thee that again, each of us who have experienced salvation, that we can come in and through the Lord Jesus, the one who is not ashamed to call us brethren, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who as the just died for us the unjust, that he might bring us unto thyself. We come in his name and upon his merits. We thank thee for that sinless life that he lived, providing for us a perfect righteousness. We thank thee for his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, providing redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we come today in his name and upon his merits. And we thank thee for that acceptance we find before thee. We come this morning seeking a fresh cleansing from sin, the fresh infilling of thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for this thy day. And we think of thy word and thy law, which calls us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We thank thee for this day in which we remember that the Lord Jesus arose victorious over death and the grave. And so we thank thee for this, the Lord's day. And we pray even now as we've gathered here in the house of God, in the public place of worship, that thou wouldst enable us today to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We acknowledge today it would be so possible for us to go through the outward form of worship, the outward form of this service, and yet our hearts be far from thee. But we pray that that will not be the case today. May it not be said of us that we have drawn near to thee with our lips, yet our hearts be far from thee. But Lord, we ask today that in our hearts, from our hearts, we will draw near unto thyself. And as we would seek to draw near unto thee, that thou will draw nigh unto us. We come before thee this morning and we thank thee that while we look at one another upon the outward appearance, that thou dost see to the heart. Lord, thou dost know first and foremost where each of us stand before thee, as far as our spiritual well-being is concerned. And so we pray today, if there be those in the gathering that are still unsaved and out of Christ, that even today thou wilt convict them of their sin. Thou wilt convince them of their need of salvation. And thou wilt grant to them repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today, if there be those that are saved and yet have grown cold of heart, wandered away from thyself, that even this day thou wilt restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. We pray for each believer who's seeking to press on with thee, that thou wilt enable each one to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Saviour, that this very day we might be conformed more unto the image of thy dear Son. We pray today that thou wilt remember every other need, every burden that is borne, every trial that is faced. Thou dost know, Lord, the need of every individual today. We pray for those who need comfort in their hearts, for those that need that touch upon the body or the mind, that thou wilt meet these needs as well. We thank thee that thy grace is sufficient for us. And Father, today we think of those that are not able to gather in the public place of worship. We're conscious today that right through our little land there are many of your people who would love to be in the house of God and yet are not able. And we think of those connected with the congregation here, whether they be in their own homes, in a nursing home, in a hospital ward. We pray today that thou will draw near and that thou will grant that they will know thy presence in a special manner. Those that have the means of tuning in to the services here,
Or maybe others who, by means of a DVD or a CD, will hear the Word of God. We pray that Thou will bless these means, even to their souls this very day. We think of multitudes all around today through this little province that could be in a place of worship. And yet if not that desire, if not that concern for their souls, not that love even for Thyself, Lord, we pray today that wherever they may be found, that Thou will work in their hearts and lives, bringing back to them the Word of God that they have heard in a past day. And even, Lord, before the time of the evening service here, and indeed in many other places, that there will be those who will feel compelled to come to the house of God under the sound of Thy Word. We pray, therefore, that Thou wilt revive Thy work in these days, that Thou wilt send times of spiritual awakening. We think not only of our province, but of our nation. And we acknowledge, Lord, that sin abounds, but we pray that Thy grace will much more abound. And we pray that many will be brought to fear Thee. Many will be brought to seek Thee while Thou art to be found, and call upon Thee while Thou art near. We ask today that Thou will bless Thy word that has went forth in the Sunday school, among the boys and girls and young people. We pray that that word will have found a resting place in their hearts. And we pray that in the hearts of those that are out of Christ, it will bring forth fruit unto eternal life. And in the hearts of those that are saved, that it might bring forth fruit unto growth and grace, and in the knowledge of the Saviour. Bless today wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed. We remember not only here in our province, we think of the mainland, we think of this island, we think indeed throughout the world today. We pray that Thou will cause Thy word to have free course and be glorified. Cause Thy kingdom to be extended. So Lord, just come now and shut us in with Thyself for this time. May we truly meet with Thee today, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to the hymn number 571 on page 407. The hymn 571, The Lord's Our Rock. In Him we hide a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. 571, will stand again as we sing. Thank you. We want to turn in the Word of God this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And reading please from the opening verse of the chapter. Matthew chapter 11, and this portion records for us a time in the life of John the Baptist, the one who of course prepared the way for the Lord Jesus, beginning his public ministry. And at this point the Lord Jesus has begun his ministry, and we read in the opening verse of Matthew 11, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And we'll end our reading there, trusting and knowing that God will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts today for his name's sake. At this stage, we'll ask our brother James Bennison to come, please, and bring the necessary announcements.
Folks, it's good to see you this morning in God's house. It's cold outside, but we're glad to see the effort made to come to the house of God this morning. We do give you a warm welcome, and to those listening online, wherever you may be, we trust that the Lord will bless you. We do give a warm welcome to our preacher today, the Reverend John Woods from our John Knox Free Presbyterian Church. He's a wee bit closer to home than the men we've had over the last 2 weeks, but we do give him that warm welcome, and we do trust that he'll know the help of God, and we will be blessed through the preaching of the word today. The prayer meeting tonight at 6:30, prior to the gospel service at 7, and again the Reverend Woods will be along to bring that message in the gospel. Then immediately after the evening service tonight, there will be the choir practice up in the prayer room for the Christmas service. So those that are involved, those that want to take part, please join up in that room, and our sister Heather will be there along with Joe for that practice. The building fund offering today, those baskets are at the exit doors as you leave. Please remember that offering and give as the Lord has prospered you. The meetings this week, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, the mother and toddlers meeting in the church hall. Then tomorrow evening at 6:45, the Awana meeting. Do remember that, please, and send the children to that meeting. Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, the Bible study prayer meeting. The Reverend Murray will be along to bring a word. And then for committee and session, there will be a short committee meeting immediately after that prayer meeting concludes on Thursday or on Wednesday night. There are just one or two issues of business we need to resolve before the Christmas period. We would encourage you to be at that meeting and to be in attendance then for the committee meeting afterwards. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of December, in the will of God, 10 a.m. the Sunday school, 11 a.m. 6:30 p.m. the two seasons of prayer, and then the family worship service at 11:30, the gospel service at 7 p.m. and the preacher at both services next Lord's Day will be our own interim moderator, the Reverend Samuel Murray, and our sister Natasha will be bringing messages in song at the evening service. Do plan to come to be in attendance at that meeting. Just a couple of advance dates for you. Next Sunday evening, the North Down Young Adults Fellowship is meeting in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church at 8:45 p.m. If you're able and free, you'll be very welcome at that meeting. Then the Sunday after that, the 18th of December, just a reminder for our own congregation, we will be having an annual retiring offering for the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. We do that every year, and the giving of God's people is always good toward that offering, and we do bring that to your attention this morning. We made an announcement about the Covenanters trip for next year. The details of that are on the board. CDs and DVDs from our brother Sam Houston. There's lists on the sheet in the hall there as well. And if you want to take one and then see us later regarding payment for those items, please. The LTBS calendars are on the table. And I would draw your attention to this calendar. It's celebrating the 50th anniversary of the work that commenced way back in 1973 with the One Radio Station Ministry out of the Isle of Man. There was a special report brought at Presbytery on Friday evening regarding that work. And today in the land of Nepal alone, the stations that the radio ministry is reaching in that country under the Reverend Paul Thapa is over 6 million people on its own. There were various aspects of the work that were brought, but there's one that I want to draw your attention for your encouragement. There was the indication of the two shops that have been recently opened in Banbridge, and then with the amount of goods that were coming in, they opened another one recently in Armagh. And three instances were given, and I want to just bring them to you this morning that will be an encouragement to your own soul. In one of the shops, a Roman Catholic lady came in. She was looking for some reading material for her mother, who wasn't well, and she wanted to get some material for her. They gave her, along with that, the little book, The New Beginning. That lady took it home and read it to her mother. And as she read it to her mother, she herself came under conviction and was brought to Christ through the reading of that book. Another man came into the shop on another occasion. He had previously been in to get an overcoat, and he came back to the shop again. And you know, he was speaking to Mrs. Patterson, and he told her that he had got the coat, the overcoat, for he needed something decent to be buried in. And she said to him, "Sir, you'll need something more than that if you're going to be buried correctly." And she gave him her testimony. And as a result of that, the man came to saving faith in Christ. Then in one of the shops, another Roman Catholic man came in. He'd been coming in on a few occasions. He said to the workers in the shop that he was looking for peace. He confessed on some terrible things in his life, things that he thought God could not forgive him for. And so he was seeking peace. Now, it just happened to be that morning, there had been a new package of tracts that had come in that they would have had out in the shop. Mrs. Patterson was opening it. And the little text on the tract was this: "How to know peace." And she gave it to that man. And you know, as they were talking, it came out in the conversation that he was one of the hunger strikers. That he said that he had been brought up with no fear of God, as a lot of the other hunger strikers had. There was no thought of God. But he said that when it came to face death, many of them were afraid, and they feared to die. And they knew that the priest could do nothing for them. And the request went out at Presbytery on Friday night that we would pray for this man, that as he took that track and goes home, that he too will come to Christ. And why I say that is, folks, that's the work we're trying to support. The calendars are there. Take them, use them, and support the work of the LTBS. Please, we draw that to your attention. They're sitting there. There's not many of them have gone. But we ask you to support that work, because that is the work that you are supporting if you take one of those calendars, please. Do remember the sick of the congregation. Those were gone into in quite detail last Sunday. Some of them still need our prayers. We think of Mrs. Barnes. We think of her brother Eric, who had the fall. He's recovering well from the gash, but he still has problems with the chest injury that he received, but he is planning to be here next Lord's Day. Do remember these folk in your prayers. I heard this morning that our brother Billy Park isn't well, hasn't been well all week. And do remember these folk of the congregation. Sometimes it can be a case out of sight, out of mind, but we bring them to your attention this morning, and we do ask that you will remember them in prayer. Please, thank you for your time, for your attention. I'm going to hand the rest of the meeting over to the Reverend Woods. God bless, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother James, for the words of welcome and making the announcements. It is good to be with you today here in Ballygowan. We trust the Lord will bless us, especially as we gather around his word today. We want to turn just to a few verses of another hymn, please, before we come to the preaching of God's word. It's 425, 425 on page 348. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. 425. We'll stand to sing, and we'll just sing the first two verses, please, of 425. Let's turn again, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And as we come to this portion of Scripture, the verse 2 sets something of the context of the passage and the time in the life of John the Baptist, because it says in verse 2, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord even to speak to your hearts through the preaching of his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the hymns we've been able to sing together in praise to thee. We thank thee for the reminder, even in these words we have just been singing, that though in the midst of many different trials and difficulties in life, that we can say if we have Jesus, Jesus only, then our sky will have that gem. We thank thee that he is the sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. And we thank thee in the midst of all of the trials of life, that when we have Christ as our Savior, that we can keep our eyes fixed on him. We can be those that are looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher
of our faith. And so now as we come to thy word and the preaching of it, we pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts through thy word. Speak to us personally. Speak to us individually. Speak to us by the power of thy Spirit. And we pray that thy word might be hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. So fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Speak to me through thy word. And speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So the Lord Jesus said in our passage here in the verse 11, as he spoke to the people who had gathered with regard to this man, John the Baptist. As we study the life and the ministry of John the Baptist as it is recorded in the Gospels, though it was a brief ministry, yet we're left in no doubt that he was greatly used by God in his day. And so greatly used that the very record of his life here in the Word of God is still of profit for us to consider and to benefit from. He was not only greatly used by God, he was greatly empowered by God. You can take the time to read Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Zacharias to tell him that his wife would give birth to a son that was to be called John. And one of the things that the angel said was that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. There are many people, they want to be great in the sight of others in this world, but John was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. When we think of the words spoken by John the Baptist himself during his ministry, one of those things that he said which really stands out is the fact that he said of the Lord Jesus, he must increase. And then he said of himself, but I must decrease. So although he became great in the sight of the Lord, he was one who had great humility in his own heart. John the Baptist was certainly greatly used by God in his day. And yet, John had his imperfections, for he was but a sinner saved by grace. And there is no doubt that as you read the record of his life, he had his weaknesses as well as his strengths. He had his times of failure as well as his times of success. And it has pleased God in the record of his word to record for us not only the strengths of John the Baptist, but his weaknesses, that we might learn from them. It could be said of John the Baptist as it was said of Elias in James 5 and 17, that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And of course the fact that the Word of God records for us the weaknesses and the failures of John the Baptist as well as his great strengths as he was greatly used by God is one of the evidences that this is the Word of God. When men write the lives of those, or the record of the lives of those whom they want to honour, they may many times pass over the failings and shortcomings, but not God and his word. For God wants us to learn from the failings of others as well as how they were greatly used by him. And that is a means of encouragement to us as God's people. Because we can look at others who are greatly used by God and we are conscious of our own failings. And yet as we see how God is able to greatly use those who have their failings, well, we are reminded that we too can be used of God. Because as his people, we have to say it's only by the grace of God. that we are what we are. It's only by His grace that we can be used for Him as witnesses and as servants for Him. And when we think of John the Baptist here in Matthew chapter 11, while we can read of those times when he preached with great power, and when he called others to repent and to trust in the Saviour that was about to begin his public ministry, we find here in Matthew 11 we have something of a low point in the experience of John the Baptist. A time when he was in prison. A time when momentarily he began to doubt whether or not Jesus was really the promised Messiah. It might seem almost unbelievable to us that this man who had preached with such power and boldness might for a time begin to doubt, is Jesus Christ really the promised Messiah? The promised Saviour? And yet this has been recorded for us, this time in John's life, that we might learn from it. And so this morning, just for a time, I want us to consider the doubting of John the Baptist. The doubting of John the Baptist. And as I have read those verses 2 and 3, it really sets the context. John, he's in prison. He hears the works of Christ. He sends two of his disciples to ask this question of the Lord Jesus. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? And as we think of the doubting of John the Baptist, I want you to think first of all about the situation which led to this doubting. At this time, as is highlighted in the verse 2 of Matthew 11, John the Baptist was in prison. There are other verses in the Gospels that give us a little more light on why John was in prison. If you turn forward a few pages into Mark's Gospel and come to the chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6, and if you come down to the verse 17, of Mark chapter 6. It tells us here in Mark 6 and 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And here we learn as to why John was in prison. It was not that he had committed some crime against the law of the land, but he had simply faced Herod with his sin. He had rebuked Herod for his sin, for that adulterous relationship that he was in with his brother's wife whom he had taken and married. This was the reason why John found himself in prison. And so as we find John in prison back here in Matthew 11 verse 2, we can say that the situation that he was in, for him no doubt was a depressing situation. John's imprisonment was a gross injustice. He was there because he had denounced the sin of Herod. If you look for a moment into Luke's Gospel, you will see that Luke also makes mention of why John found himself in prison. And there in Luke 3, and the verses 19 and 20, having recorded something of the ministry of John the Baptist. In Luke 3 and verse 19 it says, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And no doubt this was a depressing situation for John the Baptist. Up until this point, he had been used to the outdoor life, going about preaching many times in the open air to great crowds. And now he's shut up in a dark, dismal prison. In such depressing circumstances for John, it would have been difficult to keep a consistent, positive attitude. And of course, this depressing situation for John no doubt was a factor that led to his doubting whether or not Jesus Christ was really the promised Messiah. You read the history of great men and women who were either used as missionaries or great men who were used as preachers, and we look up to them as we read the record of their lives. And yet often we discover that they faced such depressing circumstances, not maybe in the exact same context as John the Baptist. Think of Martin Luther, John Bunyan, C.H. Spurgeon, and they were men greatly used by God. And yet they also in their lives faced circumstances, situations that often were depressing to them. But John's situation was not only depressing for him. In many ways it was disappointing. Because back here in Matthew 11 and verse 2, we are told, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" It becomes obvious that during John's imprisonment, he was permitted visits from his disciples. And he heard from them the great works which the Lord Jesus was doing as he went about his public ministry. And if you come down to the verse 5, you will see what some of those works were. Verse 5 of Matthew 11, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." And you think of John in prison, and he hears from his disciples these great works that the Lord Jesus is performing as he goes about his ministry. And John may have been disappointed that though the Lord Jesus was doing these mighty works, he had not acted to have John released from his imprisonment. And no doubt that disappointment would go a little further in the situation to causing John these doubts that led him to send his disciples to ask the question of Christ, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" And so we can say the situation that John found himself in was not only depressing and disappointing. For him, no doubt, it was difficult to understand. John, in his ministry of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus, before the Lord began his ministry, John had been led much to dwell upon the fact that Christ will judge sin. Again, if you look for a moment at Luke chapter 3, you will see something of the ministry of John as he prepared the way for the Saviour. And in Luke 3, in the verse 7, we get a little insight into the ministry of John and his preaching. And we're told there in Luke 3, verse 7, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In verse 9 he said, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then in verse 17 he said of Christ, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. You see, John's ministry concerning Christ not only included the fact that Christ had come at his first coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, but he also in his ministry looked ahead to that day when Christ will come as the great judge. And most of the Jewish people, when the Lord Jesus came, they were thinking of him coming in power and glory. They weren't focusing in upon him coming in humiliation. They were thinking of him coming to set up an earthly kingdom and to destroy all his and their enemies. And so as John found himself in the prison because he had rebuked the sin of Herod, and as he heard of the Lord Jesus going about healing all manner of sickness and preaching the gospel, we might say that John wasn't hearing very much about judgment falling upon sinners. He no doubt thought about Herod living his immoral, sinful life. And yet Herod had power to put John in prison when John was but seeking to be faithful to God. No doubt this was difficult for John to understand. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus did preach against sin at his first coming. But at his first coming, his chief purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. Not to condemn the world, but that sinners might be saved. At his second coming, he will come as the great judge. But as we've pondered this situation in John's life that led to him doubting for a time whether or not Jesus Christ was really the promised Saviour, we've got to make an application to our own hearts and lives. And if you're saved this morning, there are times in our experience as God's people, often there are many times in our experience as God's people, in our walk with God, in our witness for Him, that we also face situations which are depressing. It might be some illness in our lives or in the lives of those in our families. It might be a bereavement. There are disappointing situations where our plans don't work out as we expected. There are situations that for us seem difficult to understand. We look out in the world and many times it seems to be the wicked that are prospering. And the devil will always come with the temptation. The temptation for us to doubt God's love for us. To doubt God's control of all things. And in such situations there have been believers who maybe even for a time have begun to doubt their salvation. And so we ask the question, is there anything further we can learn from John the Baptist in this situation? And of course there is. But before we move on to the next thought, maybe you're here and you're not saved. And from one perspective, everything might seem to be going well in life. Or on the other hand, maybe things aren't going well. And maybe you want to doubt that there even is a God. Or you want to doubt that God could cast sinners into a lost eternity. Maybe on the other hand, you doubt whether God would be able to save your soul. Whether he'd be able to keep you going on with him. There's no need to doubt what God has revealed in his word. You're called to take God at his word. To turn from your sin, to trust in Christ for salvation. And then live for him. Despite the difficult circumstances of life. But as we've considered the situation which led to John's doubting, I want you to think very quickly about the reaction to his doubting. Because John was not content to remain in this state of doubting as to whether or not Jesus was the promised Saviour. And so there in those verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 11, we find that he sent two of his disciples. He sent them to the Lord with this question: Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? John reacted to his doubts in a wise manner. He couldn't get to the Lord physically speaking, so he sent his two disciples with this question. And child of God, just as John didn't merely hope that his doubts would disappear, but he sent his disciples to the Lord with this question, so if we find ourselves in situations where we begin to doubt God's love for us, where we begin to doubt his control over all things, let us react in the same way as John the Baptist. Let us take our doubts to the Lord. Let us take our questions to the Lord in prayer. Let us ask him to increase our faith. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us continue to read the promises of his word. Let us continue to read of those, even like the psalmist, who many times had questions to address the Lord with. There in, well, we could turn to many of the psalms, but just one, Psalm 142, we find David there, and it's his prayer when he was in the cave. And he tells us, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. He cried unto the Lord in the midst of his difficult situations. This is how we are to react to our times of doubting, to our questions. We're to take them to the Lord in prayer. And there's so much more we could say about that, but time is almost gone. But again, if you're not saved, you have questions in your mind concerning God and his ways, and yet you're simply called to react to all of that by repenting of your sin, trusting in Christ for salvation, that you might have a right relationship with God and be in his family. Then of course you can take all those other questions to him in prayer. But as we conclude this morning, I want you, just as we've considered the situation which led to John's doubts, his questions, the reaction as he sent this message to the Lord, this question to the Lord through his disciples, I want you to think as we finish about the direction given to John in his doubting. Because in verse 4, we read Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said unto them. He said to these two disciples of John, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The direction that was given to these disciples to give to John by the Lord is most instructive and enlightening. John was to be shown again the things which the disciples were hearing and seeing concerning Christ: the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf being made to hear, the dead being raised up, the poor having the gospel preached unto them. And you see, the Lord was directing John to consider again what the Lord had been heard saying and doing, his preaching, his healing, his miracles. And the Lord Jesus was really saying to John, are not these things that you are hearing, that I'm saying and doing, part of the proof that I am the promised Savior? That I am the promised Messiah? Because are not these things a fulfillment of the prophecies concerning me? If I could just read for you a moment from the prophecy of Isaiah. And of course Isaiah prophesied of the ministry of John the Baptist as well as the ministry of the Saviour. But in Isaiah 61, and the opening few verses, we read a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. And it says there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And here is a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus coming with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And yes, he was to preach good tidings unto the meek. And you see, John had heard that the poor were having the gospel preached unto them. But also in Isaiah, we find in chapter 35 and the verse 4, these words, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. These next words, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. And John was hearing of these things happening, as had been prophesied of the Messiah. The Lord was saying to John, consider carefully what you're hearing that I am saying and am doing. These things are proof that I'm the Messiah, despite your situation, which to you is depressing and disappointing and difficult to understand. And what is the answer to our questions, our times of distress and disappointment? It is to look again into the Word of God, to see our Savior, to see what he has done, to see what he's still doing, to see what he will yet do. And we will begin to see as we, for example, read through the Psalms, that the same questions we have as we look around us in life and see the wicked seeming to prosper that God's people had in the past day. Take the time to read Psalm 73. The psalmist said his feet were almost gone. Steps had slipped. He was envious of the wicked until he went into the sanctuary of God and he saw the rain. Think of Job, so many questions that he had. Yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. As we finish this morning there in verse 6, it says, Matthew 11 and 6, the Lord said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The word offended means to distrust or depart from one whom we should trust and obey. And we will be blessed if we keep on trusting. even through the dark times, if we keep on following the Lord, because we know that all things do work together for good, to them that love Him, to them that are the called, according to His purpose. So the message from John's question, in his times of doubt, are this: keep on taking our questions to the Lord. Keep on pressing on with Him. Keep on looking into His Word. Until that day when all our questions will be answered. And for you, if you're not saved, turn from your sin today. Trust in the Lord for salvation. May the Lord write His Word upon our hearts this morning. Let's just bow in prayer as we bring our service to a close. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word today. We can say Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is a message for us in every circumstance of life, in every situation that comes across our pathway. We pray that Thou wilt speak to the unsaved today, that they might turn from sin, trust in Christ for salvation. Speak to each of us who are saved, that despite the difficult situations that we face in our lives, that we might keep walking by faith and not by sight, that we might keep our eyes on the Saviour, that we might keep pressing on with Thyself. So take us now our separate ways in safety. We pray that honour and glory and praise might redound to Thy great name this day and forevermore. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're glad to see you in the house of God today, and we're going to turn, please.